Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up later this week, Wednesday, Connecticut Senate hopeful Peter Schiff. Thursday, Krista Tippett. Friday, Henry Louis Gates. A lot to listen for every morning at 10. And in effect, as of today, the Credit Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Disclosure Act, or CARD, which President Obama signed in May of last year, just took effect today. It's designed to curb the most dishonest credit card tricks and help people stay out of crippling debt. But after less than 12 hours of the new regulations, we are already hearing about some loopholes that are still there to be exploited. So joining us now to run down the new protections offered by the CARD Act and to give us a heads up on the new credit card company tactics to watch out for is Anya Kamenetz, a staff writer for Fast Company and author of Generation Debt, Why Now is a Terrible Time to Be Young. Hey, Anya, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me back.
And this doesn't change the rules so much as it just makes credit card companies tell you what they're doing?
Well, actually, some of the rules are changing. I mean, there's new disclosure, better enforcement. There's plain sight, plain language rules that say that you can't have the tiny, tiny print. But there are also curbing some of the most abusive practices. So, the retroactive rate increases that are applied after you incur the debt, the double cycle billing, which is, interest applied to the balance from last month, and the late fee tricks and traps. It's hard to even believe that these were the real rules, but things like a floating due date from month to month where your due date would change so that the late fees would come in because you're paying accidentally. Your due date's different than it was last month.
Because you were used to paying on the 22nd and this month it's suddenly due on the 14th.
Or the due date's a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That comes in there. They have to give you a 45 days advance notice if they're going to give you a rate hike. There are some protection of the terms for the first year that you sign the credit card agreement that they can't change it on you for that first year or at least the first 6 months. And
so if they have a great teaser rate.
The
right?
Teaser rate is now enforceable for at least 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a lot of the most abusive, a lot of the most tricky practices, and the point is that this is a bill that they've been fighting for 10 years. So all of these things are well established as practices in the credit card industry. Now that they've seen that the bills come in, they've had time to come up with new ones.
And we'll talk about some of those new ones in a minute. And listeners, we can take your questions for Anya Kamenetz. She has been covering this, as you know, because she's been on this show a lot of times with a lot of information and I dare say a healthy dose of outrage towards some of the credit card company abuses. So if you have questions for Anya Kamenetz about these new credit card regulations that are in effect as of today, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. There is, and you're known for your book, Generation Debt, there is a generational element to some of this, right? Some of this is specifically targeted, this new bill, at protecting students and other young Americans.
Absolutely. So, the students right now are averaging about $3,000 in credit card debt in 2008, and most college students, about 91% of them, have a card. So what this bill actually does, and this is kind of awesome, it's putting back in a protection that existed as recently as the 1980s, which is that if you're under 21, you have to have a parent to co-sign your card or some other adult to co-sign your card.
Not every purchase, but to get the card.
Just to get the card. That's right. So the co-signature on the agreement, unless you have some source of income. So that's reasonable, right? If you have a part-time job, you can get the credit card, but you cannot waltz onto campus at 18 and get a card with no proof of income. And the other thing that they are trying to cut back on is the inducements giveaways, the T-shirts, the Frisbees, the keychains. Those are no longer going to be allowed as part of the sales techniques on campuses.
I know sometimes you go to a Yankee game and they have a big booth set up, one of these credit card companies, where they'll give you Yankee stuff. They'll give you a T-shirt. They'll give you a tote bag. And what you need to do is sign up for a credit card.
Well, they can still do it at the Yankees game, but the rule this here is actually curbing it on campuses. Specifically. Yeah.
So there are some of the. I mean, we can't know for sure what a big credit card company will be able to dream up, but are there some new tricks and traps that you think our listeners should be ready for going forward. There was a report on Marketplace this morning that said, look for the airlineification of the credit card industry. And what they mean by that is, even if there are rules that restrict the fares, let's say, then they might start charging for individual pieces of baggage and every bag of peanuts and that kind of thing.
Well, you know, it really is hard to regulate, you know, every specific practice. I was on a call with Elizabeth Warren last week with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, where she was saying she saw a letter from a credit card company that said, hey, we're hiking up your rate right now to 29%, but we're giving you a special incentive rate of 14% as long as you're such a good customer. And the 29% rate then is going to kick in when we feel like it. Hmm. And so this is a return to the anytime for any reason rate increase, but this is your official 29, your rate officially is 29%, if that makes sense. It's very convoluted.
And they're just putting it on sale for a while for you.
Exactly. So it's sort of inverting the old way of doing it, but the outcome is basically the same.
Nadia in Hamilton, you're on WNYC. Hello, Nadia.
Hi, thanks for this interesting show.
Sure.
I had a question because I'm 23, my husband's 25, and we're young. We wanted to travel before, you know, we had kids, et cetera. So there's all these credit cards that come out with travel rewards, like Expedia Thank You Network and United Mileage. How do we decipher really what's the gimmick and what is to our benefit? I mean, is there one that you could suggest that's better than the others? And is it a trick, or should we really trust these mileage rewards and, you know, Starwood points?
I think that, you know, if you guys are responsible and you feel like you can, you know, you can keep track of it yourself, I don't think that they're, you know, they're not automatically a scam. A lot of people are very, very good at using these travel rewards and actually getting benefits out of them. You know, they're loyalty programs, so they're going to reward you using the card. And the key thing to remember to realize is, you know, put expenses on there that you would ordinarily be buying anyway, like your groceries or your car, or your gas. Don't be buying things on the card just to run up the points.
Okay. And is there one you could suggest?
I can't really recommend specific ones. I mean, I think, you know, you just have to kind of compare the terms and the fine print. And there are online forums where people really make hobbies and actually vocations out of comparing these programs. So I would sort of search online for that.
Nadia, thanks and good luck. John in Glen Rock, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hey, Brian, thanks for doing this segment because I've been one of those Sunday paper readers going, how is this affecting me? Here's my situation. Good credit. We use our credit card just like your guest said. We use it to pay for everything. You pay one check at the end of the month. Never late fees, no interest. How is this bill going to affect me, and how is it going to benefit me, if at all?
Well, I mean, you know, as a model customer, or what the credit card companies call a deadbeat, you know, you're not really the target for a lot of these penalty fees, which have been such a massive source of revenue for them. So, you know, if anything, I think all consumers are going to benefit from the better disclosure forms, the 45 days notice if there's any rate hike, so you'll have, you know, much more information about your rates. And another one, you know, in the case that you do go over limit, because we didn't mention this before, instead of just charging you an over limit fee, the company has to ask your permission before charging you over your limit. And so that's going to be, I think, very, very helpful.
In other words, they'll deny you rather than let the charge go through, but then level a fee for it.
Essentially, yes.
John, it sounds like you got to just keep doing what you're doing, even though even though they hate you.
Exactly.
Thanks.
It's really funny because he's what you call a model customer and what they call a deadbeat.
Exactly.
He's a deadbeat because he pays his bills on time, so they don't make any money on him.
Exactly.
He's just using what they offer as a convenience, and maybe he's piling up some points.
Right.
You know, in the bargain. Now, the CARD Act makes credit card companies less able to make profits on risky borrowers, which many think will push the respectable lenders toward only giving cards to people with good credit. But won't that drive people who are already behind the eight ball into the arms of shady credit options?
Well, you know, it's really difficult, and I think you're right. I think that, you know, the credit card or the consumer debt market is really segmented now, and there are these payday lenders and subprime, what they call subprime credit cards, which some of the provisions in this act do target the subprime credit cards, which have sort of extra hidden fees like activation fees and that kind of thing. You know, I think that is why people like consumer advocates like Elizabeth Warren think it's so important to move beyond just the Credit Card Act to have a Consumer Financial Protection Agency, which is something that would be really focusing on the entire consumer debt market and rating and regulating and enforcing and having oversight of this entire market to make sure that there aren't all these like shady alleyways and byways.
And I guess there is a double-edged sword here, right? Like with the housing loans, there was activism once upon a time to get credit into the hands of more people,
right,
including getting home loans into the hands of more people, and
right,
that it shouldn't just be for the elite.
Right.
Now it went too far and
right,
went to the point where the credit card companies were really being predators on
right,
people who were least able to pay.
Right.
But now do we risk going back the other way where people who should be able to get some credit aren't going to be able to because the credit card companies don't want to take any risks with these new restrictions?
Well, Brian, I think we have a really long way to go before we have too little credit. You know, and if you look at the overall what the American families are choosing to do, there was a record fall in credit card debt last year. It's fallen by over 10% from, you know, $960 billion. It's fallen by $91 billion in 2009. And so American families are putting the cards back in their pockets and they are spending within their means. And so, you know, if people don't want to use that credit, they don't want to spend the money that they don't have. You know, I think that's a really good thing. And I think we have a little ways to go before we have to start worrying about restricting access to credit.
Bob on Staten Island, you're on WNYC with Anya Kamenetz. Hello.
Hi. Another deadbeat. My son just turned 16. What is the legal age of when I can put my son on a credit card and start establishing credit history for him?
It's still 18.
18.
You can co-sign him at 18, yes.
I also have a helpful hints. I was worried about offers that I would receive. I got a 5% back on groceries, the gasoline, and drugstores back on any purchases over $6,000 for the annual year.
Mm-hmm.
I'll easily make about $600, $700 off of that card. So my credit card's always paying me, and it still seems to be okay as of right now.
Well, that's a good tip for Nadia, I guess.
There you go, Bob. Thank you very much. Catherine in Borum Hill, you're on WNYC. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The timing of this show is perfect because I made an online payment today to my Citibank MasterCard from my Citibank account, which I do every month. And I just happened to notice that over the past 6 months, it's been taking up to 5 days, usually 5 days, to clear, and I'm wondering, it doesn't take this long for any of my other bill payments to clear my account, and I'm just wondering if anybody else has noticed this practice and whether it's a deliberate delay so that the Citibank can charge their credit card customers more money in that intervening 5 days.
I believe they call that throttling. And it's a practice that it has been reported in a lot of places, yeah.
Throttling means?
Well, it means deliberately slowing down the transmission. Obviously, it shouldn't take that long to transfer funds from one account to another in one bank.
From an electronic account.
Right. So it's sort of just like choking off or slowing down.
So they can charge you a late fee.
Well, they're not charging me a late fee, but we are paying more money on our account every month. So I'm wondering if this is the reason, because we are trying to pay down our cards.
I see. Interesting. So you're thinking they're trying to slow down the rate at which you're paying down your balance?
Yeah. Plus, they're also able to charge us interest
right,
in those 4 or 5 days that they are using to clear our payments.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because another provision of this bill that I didn't mention is they are going to change the way they apply the payments to different portions of your balance. So what you would assume as a customer is that you would be, you know, that the money goes first to the highest interest portion of the balance. But that hasn't always been true. And now it's going to be true. So the money that you pay in is going to go to the highest interest part of the balance first.
Catherine,
from now on.
Good luck out there. We have just a few minutes left with Anya Kamenetz from Fast Company and author of the book Generation Debt. As we go through some of the provisions of the Credit Card Bill of Rights, which just took effect today, or really called the credit card, let's see, what do they call it? The Credit Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Disclosure Act.
Right.
It's not quite a Bill of Rights. This just in from our newsroom, by the way. Those three New York City police officers were all acquitted just a short time ago of all charges in the alleged subway sodomy attack. So we will get details on those acquittals in the news at the top of the hour. For future generations, and since you wrote the book, Generation Debt, keeping credit out of the hands of people who can't pay their debts makes sense. But are we going to have a lost generation in the meantime?
Well, you know, the effect of the rampant excesses of the credit market of this generation, whether it's mortgage debt or credit card debt, it's obviously a huge hit on wealth, because when you're paying interest on a balance, you're not saving and you're not earning interest yourself. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that that's the legacy that we're all going to be working off for a long time.
And is this a one-time deal, this bill? Are there going to be more regulations from the government if credit card companies continue to dream up new abusive practices that aren't covered by this?
I think that we all should be watching very closely. And if you have listeners in Connecticut, you know, talking to Chris Dodd about the Consumer Financial Protection Agency and the need to have a dedicated agency to the consumer credit market.
Dodd wants it, and his counterpart on the Republican side, Richard Shelby, doesn't want it. That's going to be front and center in Congress over the coming weeks. And you talked about how people are paying down their debt and stopping to charge anyway as much as they did, and the credit card companies stopped promoting cards as much as they had been. But I still get them in the mail pretty regularly. And according to the Wall Street Journal, the largest credit card issuers actually upped their direct mail solicitations to consumers by more than 45% in the fourth quarter of last year as compared to the third quarter. What's up with a new mail push, even in the Great Recession?
Well, that would make sense, right? As people are paying down their balances and therefore they're giving less money to the companies, that they would be going out looking for new business, because you may see a market in which there's a small number of people with a huge number of cards, and then hopefully the reversion to the average American is someone with one or two cards who doesn't have a lot of debt.
And then one other thing, I heard that they may start leveling low balance fees or low use fees. So like if you have a card sitting around that you don't actually use but you never actually canceled it, that could come up to bite you now?
Well, that's sort of like the deadbeat fee, right? It's like if you keep the card in your pocket, we're going to make you pay. And, you know, if you can remember to take it out and charge an airline ticket or a grocery bill once in a while, just kind of stave that off, it really doesn't seem fair. But they're going to keep coming up with tricks, so we have to keep watching.
Anya Kamenetz, watching the new potential loopholes just 12 hours after the Credit Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Disclosure Act went into effect. She writes for Fast Company, is author of Generation Debt. And should I say the name of your forthcoming book?
That would be great.
DIYU, Edupunks, Edupreneurs, and the Coming Transformation of Higher Education, right?
Great. Thank you. Yeah.
You'll come back and talk about it when it comes out?
I sure hope so,
great.
Yeah.
Talk to you then.
All right.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.